News Talk Breakfast with Anton Savage.
In association with AIR.
Iran has rejected participation in a second round of peace talks. This despite the fact that J.D. Vance is being sent to Islamabad to participate in those talks. With us is Alistair Bunkle, Sky News foreign correspondent and Middle East expert. What is J.D. Vance, or rather, who is J.D. Vance going to negotiate with if the Iranians aren't going to show up, Alistair?
Well, I mean, I think at this stage it probably still is an Iranian flex, and that, you know, the odds are that the Iranians will show up. I've been speaking to people in Islamabad this morning who tell me that, you know, two big hotels have been blocked off and set aside for each delegation. So the expectation amongst the Pakistanis is that the Iranians will be there. The expectation amongst the Americans, clearly, if J.D. Vance, Steve Witkoff and Jared Kushner are going to travel, is that the Iranians will be there. But the Iranians are playing hardball. They're saying that the atmosphere is not positive at the moment for talks. They, through the state media, are saying they're not going to go. I wonder what the coming hours will bring. I think this is more of a power play. I mean, it certainly would be the ultimate diplomatic power play if the U.S. vice president did arrive and the Iranians didn't. I'm not actually sure, and the Iranians probably know this, I'm not actually sure that would play very well in the Iranians' favor, ultimately.
Now, where you say that the environment isn't exactly conducive to peace talks, a big contributor to that is what we saw with that cargo vessel that was both fired upon and then seized by U.S. Marines landing on it. Was the intent of sending that cargo ship through the strait to test American resolve, or was it a genuine attempt to transit through a blockade?
Well, I think it's probably a bit of a number of things. To test the American resolve and see what the Americans would do, but also probably to show Iranian strength and Iranian ability to operate in straits at will, both with any ships connected to their own state companies, but also their ability to control the movement of other traffic through the Strait of Hormuz, because that is their kind of crucial card at the moment. That is the one that they hold, and it's a big card. It's a powerful card. But they are saying that as long as the U.S. blockade of the straits continues, then the talks won't happen. I think the American blockade of the Strait of Hormuz is controversial. It certainly exacerbates the current situation, doesn't sort of necessarily lead to peace talks, as we're seeing. But there is military strategy in it, though, showing that, well, look, we're not going to allow the Iranians to control the Strait of Hormuz. It should be an international body of water controlled by no individual particular state. But, you know, if the Iranians are going to insist they can control it, well, no, we, the Americans, are going to come in and do it ourselves. Not only that, we're going to stop any Iranian ships leaving, thereby cutting off a major financial route for the Iranians.
It may be a strategic military tactic, but it's somewhat, I would have thought, dog in the manger if the ultimate objective is to get the strait open, because it doesn't particularly, I mean, other than leverage, it doesn't further that, or does it?
Well, I mean, the argument in Washington will be that it does further it, in that if you could strangle the Iranian economy, then it might pressure them to come to the negotiating table. It might weaken the Iranians' hand. If it's the Americans who have... So if we sort of just, you know, step back, if the Iranian control of the Strait of Hormuz and the effect that has on the global economy is Iran's strongest hand, then you want to try and neutralize that hand somewhat. And I think that's what the Americans are trying to do by putting their ships into the Strait of Hormuz, saying, no, we will now control it. It is not a card that you can play in talks. The problem is it's just not as black and white as that. It's not that clear cut, but I think that's what the Americans are trying to demonstrate by seizing the Iranian oil tanker, saying this is not something that you can come to the negotiating table to bargain with. We now control it. So therefore, you know, you are back as a degraded military, a degraded governing force, and therefore you must answer to our terms that we will lay out. But again, you know, if that's the American approach, and it seems to be, you know, here are the terms, agree to them or go back to the fighting. Well, again, that is not really how negotiations tend to work.
Now, to that thing of going back to the fighting, Iran has said that it will retaliate over the attacking and seizing of this vessel. That retaliation, do they to some extent have to thread the eye of a needle to be seen to retaliate so that they do not look weak, but not make the retaliation sufficiently significant that it catalyzes America back into war?
Yes, exactly. And we've seen this with the Iranians before. June of last year, when the 12-day war and previously as well, when Israel and Iran have attacked each other in the last couple of years, what you'll often see is, well, at least one side, but often the Iranians having the final say. But that final say is sort of kind of calibrated, perhaps even discussed through back channels. And it's a way of sort of both sides stepping away and being able to privately and domestically to their own audiences claim that they were the victor. How the Iranians do this in the context of the Strait of Hormuz is quite complicated. You know, what kind, if they're going to attack another ship, so a sort of a like-for-like response, if you want, then, you know, what kind of ship do they attack? Because shipping is an incredibly opaque world where, you know, they sail under different flags that are not necessarily related to the holding companies. The goods on board, the crew on board often come from parts of the world that are totally unrelated to events going on. Will they attack the US military? I think that would be a massive mistake, but perhaps they could send some drones towards a US carrier fleet, for example, knowing that they'll be shot down, but gives them the ability to say internally, we've attacked the US Fifth Fleet or something along those lines.
Alistair, thank you very much for that analysis. Alistair Bunko, Sky News foreign correspondent and expert on the Middle East. 53106, if you'd like to text the show, that'll cost you 30 cents. 087 1400 106 on WhatsApp.
News Talk Breakfast with Anton Savage.
In association with AIR.
Weekday mornings at 7. News Talk. Conversation that counts.